to church from my end as well. Before I dive into what we call a sermon or a talk, I'll just remind you that if you have a little one up to the age of 4, you are welcome to take them to what we call a babysit facility. Someone in the back will direct you where to go. You really are welcome to make use of that. If you are at, under, or over the age of 4 and you would like to draw, so children, or colour in, there are some clipboards and pens and pencils in the middle. You're welcome to grab some now. Mum or Dad can grab it for your kids, or you can grab it. And you can draw and try and pronounce some of those names on there. And then, last question before I dive in. How did we go, Mike, in the back? We're good? Cool. Evan, so glad you're there, Evan. Right. Friends, indulge me and let me just ask you to pray with me for only a few moments, please. Father, we ask your help for what needs to happen now, here. As we hear your word, as we have heard it, as we think upon it. It's supposed to do stuff today. And I pray that it will. Ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you to think a little bit about the story of your life. Is it a good story? Is it a story that you like, maybe, if I can put it that way. Maybe if that's too big a thing to think about so quickly and sprung upon you, can I ask you to think about the story of your life in 2024? We're entering a part of the year where we naturally start just thinking a bit about what was the year like? What all that happened in it? Maybe it's a chapter in your life. Was it a good chapter? Was it a hard chapter? Maybe it was even a very painful chapter. You see, we all have a story, each of our lives. It's a story, tells a story, proclaims a story that is alive and actively being written. And I want you and me today to keep that in the back of your mind as we look at another story today, the story that Alice read to us. Because I want to suggest to you that, strange as this Bible passage that we just read is, it does tell a story. And that story that it tells seeks to change your story. My story. The story of humanity. It has a lot to say about your story. And so come with me today as we look at this story. Consider some of the things, at least, that's embedded in it, and that the God of this story today will continue to write another bit in ours. Can I suggest to you that there's three things we see from this story, three points, if you will. Here's the first. History is his story. What do you think of human history? All of it. All of it. God is the one who is writing that story. Every little detail of it. All of it. This whole thing is there's roughly 2,000, maybe more, years of history buried in between these lines. And it's precise and it's exact. And the Bible wants to say to us today that, you know who's writing that story? God is writing the story of humanity. History, all of it, is his story, right? And straight away, here we have a big question that I hope comes to your mind, certainly comes to my mind. Because if I hear that God is writing every single bit of history, which includes your story, by the way, I straight away jump to things and scenes like these. Right? How do you say that God is writing human history, your story, but what about the parts of that story that are really, really painful? Really, really, really hard to square off with the idea that God, or at least that a good God, is writing that part of the story. Now, that's a big question, friends, and I'm not going to answer all of it, but I want to tell you what I think this genealogy wants to tell us about it, because I think it does. I think it does want to answer that question for us today, at least in a big way, a big part of it. A couple of things that it wants to say to us. Number one, pain and painful parts to the story is no stranger to the people of God. Buried in the lines of this history, this genealogy, are the most horrible of times. The most horrible of experiences. I would venture to say that it is stained with tears, with failures, with injustices, darkness, horrors, despondency, atrocities. And still it does declare to us that this is the story that God is writing. This doesn't really help you to say, okay, great, God is good, fine. But it does, at the very least, I hope, say to you and me, that God's people and those who would live with God at the center of their lives are not immune. Pain is part of the story. It's part of the story, even the story that God writes. But it has more to say to us than just the fact that pain is there. It is actually a lot better. You know what I need when I go through dark times in my life? And don't get me wrong, I've not suffered greatly in my life at all. There's been challenging times. There's been painful times. But do you know the one thing that I really need as I go through those times? I need to know that behind all that I don't understand about the mystery of my pain and the painful chapters in it, behind all that, and despite the fact that I cannot answer the questions of why or why now or how does it all fit and work, despite all of that, the one thing that I feel that I need as I walk through the chapters of pain is I need to know that there is a point. There is a point to which my life and my pain and my suffering and all the darkness is progressing. I may not understand it, but yes, 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 yes. There is a point to all this. Friends, it's hard to live in the mystery of suffering and pain. It is much, much, much harder to live through suffering and pain that is pointless, that has no meaning at all, random, not progressing to anything meaningful or redemptive or positive. It is just, yeah, sucks, so be it, deal with it. That is not the biblical story. It is not what God says to you and to me today, because this whole story, with all its darkness, all its pain, all its horror, is moving to a point. The point for which it's assigned. So is yours. So is your pain. So is your brokenness, because history is His story. Your story is His story. There is a God who gives meaning and purpose and a point to all of you. You cannot make that meaning for yourself. You need it. You need it from elsewhere. And God wants to give it. But you may ask, okay, well then, what is this story about? If God is writing the story, what is its point? What is the point of God's great story with humanity? His great story with me? I love asking my kids often when we watch the movie or they did something at school, and you try and ask them, tell me what it was about. What did you learn? And, you know, it's very fuzzy and it's very random. You struggle to really get to the one word or the one sentence answer. Grab it for me. Maybe my expectations are too high of five-year-olds. What is this about? What is God's story about? One word? Blessing. Blessing. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless humanity, humankind, blessing. That's what it's about. It's what it was always about. It's what made Him create the world in the first place. It's what makes Him do everything He's done ever since. Blessing. Now, of course, okay, that's great one-word summary, but I mean, gee, what on earth does that mean? What does it mean? How we use the word blessing as a church is so impoverished, ranging from, I'll do it, what do you say? Bless you, yeah, all right. Ranging from, you know, something good happens to us, we will say that we are blessed. And you know what? Mostly, that's all part of what it means to be blessed. But I want to tell you that it's something far deeper. Something far better. Here's what blessing means. Here's what God wants for your story. I'm going to say it. It's a bit of a mouthful. So I'll say it twice. Please hear it. God wants to set you free from the penalty and the power of human sin, and He wants to place you in His presence. Right? God wants to take you, and He wants to take you out of all the power, all the penalty of human sin, and He wants to put you in His presence. He wants you to know Him fully. Fully. He wants you to know Him, and that He knows you, that you are filled with Him. We can go on and on about what it means to live and have and be in the presence of God. This is what He wants. That is the blessing. And we get that from this genealogy. Where? Because there's three names that are really prominent here. Abraham, David, Jesus. Abraham, through you, mate, I'm going to bless all people. Even people who would sit here today, not really even being able to pronounce the names in the story, even us. God wants to bless us. God wants to take us away from the penalty of the power of human sin and place in his perfect presence. That's what he wants. Now, okay, well, you might say, just for the sake of, if you're new here, I mean, you might say, well, what does human sin mean? Such an offensive term to our culture. I won't give a lengthy definition today, but I do want to talk about it a bit. Probably the most famous Bible verse, the best Bible verse to define what human sin is this, Romans 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, usually we like to explain that in the direction that it goes, right? Everybody has sinned. We've all fallen short. None of us are good enough to have God. Can I suggest to you today, I want to read it backwards. The glory of God. You know what God wants for you? Glory. A story of glory. A story of beauty. A story that is stunning. A story in which you and I think the way God thinks. We love the way God loves. We act the way God acts. A world, a humanity, a people who contains and has the glory and beauty and perfect and presence and the stunning God. That is the story that he wants for you, for me. The blessing of his presence and reflective of his glory. But you know what I do, and you know what you do? We like to say, nah. I want to write my own story. Because I think that I can write a better story. You know the problem? I can't. Can't write a better story than he can. Because I'll always put myself as the central character of my story. Everything in the story will revolve around me, usually, one way or another. And the reality, my story and my version of my story, it will not and it cannot end in blessing. How many times have we proven this? How many times have I proven this in my life? You, humanity, let us write the story. Nah, never ends in blessing. It never does. And here we have God who says, nah, I have a blessing, glory for you. Which then brings us to the last point, really. If this is true, if this is what God wants for me, how on earth will he do it? How does this happen? Here we go. His story is about making real in your life his blessing through his King. If you want to de-sin the story of humanity, if you want to set the story of every human being who will believe it free from the power and the penalty of sin, you know what you need to do? You need to enter that story. And you need to be the perfect character in that story on behalf of each person. As that perfect character, you need to take the penalty for the failures of each of those characters. And then, for those who would say, yeah, I believe it, it's all that God wants from us, believe it, you enter those characters. You start writing their story, and this is what God does for you, dear friend. If you believe in Him, this is what He does. Remind ourselves of the grand truth of the gospel. Christ is in you, filled with His Spirit, infusing you with immense power to change how you think, how you love, how you live in the ways of God. It's not an instant, but it's progressive and it's certain, and He does it because the gospel says that I will write your story for you and I will change it into a story of glory. This is what God does. God's blessing made real in your life through His King. The King is born. That is His history. It's real. Jesus is the perfect David. David was a great king in Israel. Failed, but loved by God. Christ comes as the King at Christmas. Now let me finish by returning to the beginning. Who is writing your story? What's the story like? Can I suggest to you today that it is God who is writing your story? Whether you want it or not, the truth is He is. None of us writes our own story. None of us. That is a lie that I urge you never to believe. We cannot control anything. The better question is not who is writing your story. The better question is your story a story of blessing or not? Can I urge you today, please? If He is not, would you today become part of His story of blessing for the first time? No matter how unlikely you might think yourself. Because usually people would say, this is not really for me. That story is filled with the least likely people to have been blessed by God. Abused prostitutes, domestic violence criminals who changed. People who are so far from anything religious or spiritual or the church. If you were to carefully study, I colored some of the names there, but it's astonishing how unlikely people that you find in there are. It's for you. It is for you. If you're here today and you're not really in on this yet, yeah, consider that you're here today because this is for you. Today's your day. Would you become a little part of His great story because you are making Him the center of your story? It's a good story. Best story you'll ever have, right? Please, today, would you make the day you cry out, I want my life story to be one of blessedness. And alternatively, can I speak to you? If He's already hoping your story, and it's a painful part of the story for you today. Brother? Sister? Keep going. Your story is not pointless. Hold on to Him. Let Him grant you the faith that you need to get through to the glorious ending that He has for you. Let Him keep writing. Let Him keep moving. Because you know what? The one genre that He loves writing. I think there's two. One is poetry of praise. The other is redemption. He loves redemption stories. It's his specialty. It's what he's fantastic at. He takes broken lives, utterly broken lives, and he changes them. So hold on to him. He will turn your wailing into dancing. Your sackcloth will be exchanged and clothed with joy, that you may keep singing his praises and not be silent. Please, would you pray with me? And then we're going to sing and then move into the Lord's Supper. Father, we cannot think about our stories and not really be moved by its many painful bits. Neither my individual story nor the story of humanity. Ours is a drama. And yet you have offered to move into that drama, to bear its most painful bits, and then to emerge victorious from that bearing of it and to offer to write, to write us, to write us and to write us. God, would you do so? God, would you powerfully overshadow each person here? Whatever it is that you want to do in that story, would you write it? I pray for those who are yearning for a better chapter next year. May you grant it, one who relieves them, delivers them, heals them, restores them, guides them, provides for them. And Father, I finally pray for the person whose story does not know you, but needs to, and today is the day that it's wanted. Would you show yourself, and would you begin a new story, a better one, for that friend today? We ask, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, can I invite you to stand, and we're going to sing a song, and directly after that, I'll take us through the Lord's Supper.